Richard hitched the leather belt about his trim waist. He was adorned in delicately embroidered livery, a red velvet cape with a topaz silk shirt and mauve satin pants. But two big auto-loading blasters rode their accustomed places at his hips, the checkered grips worn from use.
Some men from the Deathlands are no longer able to enjoy the pleasures of the flesh. Then again, father and son, perhaps they...
He left the possibility open. She shook her head.
I don't think so.
The more fools they, then.
He stepped in close. Demurely, she placed both hands against his chest, holding the man at bay.
No, sweet brother. We can't, must not. It's immoral, illegal.
His hands traveled freely over her form.
Yes, we must not. Forbidden.
Not until father is dead and you are leader. The maker of laws. Not until then.
Reluctantly, the deputy ward released his sister and took a step away from her.
Yes, agreed, of course. Now, if you will excuse me.
Turning on a heel, he left the room, his shoulders hunched as if carrying an invisible load. Amanda watched him go, amused at how childish men were. Give them a treat, then a slap, and they danced like puppets. Once the fool was barren, soon she would become his wife, then the sole, widowed ruler of Novaville.
Captain of the Guard?
She crossed the bedroom to a pre-dark nightstand and mirror. The sheet of glass was nearly intact, only the tiniest chip in a corner marring its silvered perfection. Even her best servants hadn't been able to patch glass, and many had died trying.
Captain!
Amanda took a seat, as an elderly man bustled into view from behind the curtains of a doorway, and groveled dutifully.
Yes, my lady. How can I serve you this morning?
Find me a female servant of good health and my age.
He bowed.
Certainly, my lady.
Make sure she has good teeth.
Amanda tongued the inside of her mouth, then grinned to display her broken smile.
And bring pliers.
The door closed with an echoing boom. The spotlessly clean walls were now splattered with gore, and a ragged thing of mostly bones hung from the ropes above the clogged grating. In the corner, the water hose was still neatly coiled, completely unused.
God almighty! That was a bad one.
Shard leaned his forehead against the bars and closed his eyes at last.
I must really want you folks.
Ryan's stomach was an aching empty void, the sour taste of bile in his mouth. The stink in the dungeon was beyond describing.
They have our vehicle, but they don't know how to operate and maintain the equipment.
Doc leaned against the cold stone wall.
Radar is pretty much magic in these fine days of clubs and arrows. I thought I was going mad a few times, and actually wished I would slip away to another time.
Jack was staring at the floor, concentrating on his breathing.
Me too. Killed before, lots of times. But nothing like that.
It was pathological. Madness. That eunuch is a sadist of the highest order.
Christy finished with a prayer for the dead.
When will they be returning? For us?
Shard slumped to the hard floor.
Tomorrow. We sleep with the mess tonight. Then in the morning we gotta clean it up, and you go see the ward.
In spite of himself, Ryan admired the technique. This would soften the minds of most people. The dead man's screams and pleas for death were still ringing in his ears. But his friends had seen worse.
JB, let's get out of here.
Slipping off a boot, J.B. wriggled out of his sock and groped about in the vomit on the floor.
Good thing barfing was allowed. I was afraid we'd have to wait till it worked its way out my other end.
What did you swallow? A lockpick?
Yep. While the bikers were attacking. I figured it couldn't hurt.
Good thinking.
Stubby toes worked in the slime.
Dark night. It's too slippery. I can't get a grip.
Dean hawked and spat, hitting the tiny sliver of steel amid the semi-digested military rations. Ryan watched the door.
Good shot.
JB, try again.
Shard gripped the bars.
No, what's the hurry? We're here for the night.
The sooner we leave, the more distance we can get between us and this bastard pest hole.
Got it.
JB lifted the pick into view. Groaning with the strain, he raised his leg inch by inch, higher and higher.
Can't hold on much longer. Shit!
The lockpick tumbled from his grasp, spinning for the floor. It bounced once, and Christy kicked it gently with her cowboy boot. The steel probe lofted high and landed flat in Jack's outstretched palm. He wiped it dry on his shirt and tossed it to JB. The armorer made the catch easily and started on his manacles. A second later, there was a click, and the cuff fell off. Less than a minute later, the other companions were freed. Removing the cuffs from the end of his chain, Ryan slid the links through the retaining bolt, then wrapped the length around his fist, leaving a good foot dangling loose. Jack and Christy followed the example. It was a crude bludgeon, but better than nothing. Dean stumbled to the water hose, refraining from glancing at the hanging corpse, and washed off the vomit with lukewarm water. Doc joined him in the ablutions, then drank deeply in greedy draughts. Keeping near the walls to avoid the puddles, Christy and JB hurried to the door. Listening intently, he undid the lock when she gave the okay. Hope brightened Shard's features.
Hey, what about me?
JB checked with Ryan. He nodded, and the armorer started over to unlock the cell door.
The more the better.
Shuffling into the dungeon, Shard stood upright. Even in his bare feet, he towered over the tall Doc Tanner.
Know the way to the armory?
Ryan held the loose end of the chain to keep it from jangling.
Armory?
Where they keep the blasters.
Oh, the hack room. But you can't get in. There's always guards.
How many, and how are they armed? Any backup, vid cams, booby traps?
Tell us everything.
The door swung aside on oiled hinges. The friends saw that torches on the walls illuminated a hallway. A barred window was deeply set into a thick wall to their left, and a long curving corridor stretched to the right. Christy looked out the window.
It's night. Stars are out. Close to midnight, I'd say.
Good. Maybe most of them will be asleep.
Guards work in shifts. There's always somebody on duty.
Too bad for him.
Jack swung his heavy chain once around in a deadly circle. It smacked into his palm with a dull thud.
Why are we in a tower and not underground?
Why no guards?
Same reason. Smell.
Doc inhaled and gagged.
Oh, by the three Kennedys! This place stinks worse than an abattoir. No wonder nobody wants sentry duty.
Odors rise. Stink up the whole place.
No need anyway. Nobody has ever, you know, before.
Escaped. The word is escaped. Get used to it.
A plush red carpet ran down the center of the hallway and around the curve out of sight. Walking carefully between the wall and the carpet, Christy kept fidgeting.
There's a bad feel to this place.
Shard shuffled along in his bare feet.
Many have gone to school. Stone may be dead, but it holds the screams of the dying.
Not feasible.
Foolishness.
Christy's hair moved in concert with her consternation.
Yes, you're correct. Gaia is here only because of us. This is an unholy place.
Ryan kept his own counsel on the matter, paying close attention to the possibility of spy holes or other hidden guards. The rug ended at the top of three flights of stairs, leading down to a large foyer.
Don't touch the banister!
Why?
Ryan's hand hovered above the wood railing.
I've never seen any of the sec men or the heirs do it. And they don't let servants. So maybe it's old and will fall over.
Or booby-trapped.
Slowly, they proceeded down. The staircase led into the main hall, a cavernous room with vaulted ceilings. Muttering voices, garbled by distance, sounded somewhere. Feeling incredibly vulnerable, the companions stood in the hall, ready to flee or fight. That decision had been made in the aerial dungeon. They would fight to the death before letting the fat man get hold of them. Ryan looked at Shard.
Well, we go right toward the branching